The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody. It is time for Need to Know, and we have been goofing off a little bit. Did not come to you for the first time, and gosh, I don't know how many weeks since we started this. Last weekend, as the usual show, was on Christmas Day, so I guess I'm guilty with an explanation, but at TKR, Tony Curry, the taskmaster that he is, wants to have his station run like a German train station. I've used the same word twice. Was looking desperately for another word, but you know how that goes. But Tony likes to have everything in line, and Monday is the day that we record Need to Know, and I am more than happy to come to you on this Monday, which just happens to be the first day of a brand new year. It's 2024. Happy New Year, everyone. I hope you had a wonderful celebration last night. Did a lot of thinking about what we saw in 2023 and have a sense of optimism going forward that the new year is going to bring wonderful things for you and your family in this country. I've got some things today that hopefully will give you a little bit of encouragement and hope for the future, and we'll get to that in just a moment. I found myself a little bit, down in the dumps last night. I had no plans for New Year's. I just came back from 9 days out in Las Vegas with my son and all of my extended family. My son, of course, lives out there, Case Kiefer, and my grandson, King, who has become, at 3 years old already, a hockey fanatic. The Vegas Golden Knights, of course, won the Stanley Cup last year in just their sixth year of existence, and hockey fever is sweeping Las Vegas, which is something I know, if you think about it, the fact that hockey is so popular in the middle of the desert in what used to be considered just a gambling mecca, but they have major facilities all over town, and youth hockey, adult hockey, everybody's playing, everybody loves the game, and everybody clings to every Golden Knights game to see the result. And my three-year-old has already gotten the fever. I was partially responsible for that. Back in an October visit, took the whole family to a game, and at great expense, that turned out to be worth every nickel. We decided to give King, my grandson, a great experience and buy first row tickets right on the glass for the Golden Knights game against the Anaheim Ducks. And we were right down there front and center, guys slamming into the glass on the boards in front of us, inches from our respective noses on the other side. And he just loved it. He loved the speed of the game, the constant motion. You can't really appreciate hockey until you really get down close and experience it from ice level. And it was a great, great outing. And he has been so excited about it ever since. This trip, we went to another game. And this time, just bought some rather pedestrian seats. They were really good. Just the third row up in the second deck, almost to center ice from a viewing standpoint. You don't see everything when you're right down on the ice because it's right in front of you and it's zooming by. And if you're at one end, it's almost impossible to see what goes on the far end. Up in the middle seats, you've got a great view of everything and can see plays developing and really see goals at each end and great plays and great saves. But my guy, my three-year-old, King Kiefer, he was happy to be at the game and he was being a great little fan. But he had told his dad on the way in, are we sitting on the glass? And Case goes, no, we're just going to be in some regular seats tonight. And he goes, I want to sit on the glass. And so I think I've created a monster already. And he asked me about halfway through the game, my grandpa name, I think I've shared with you before, but my grandpa name is not exactly flattering, but I guess it fits me. I am Grandpa Cuckoo, K-O-O-K-O-O. That came from my ex-wife and very dear friend now, and really the architect of everything that's been made possible in my life with my sons and now my grandson. Kathy, right before King was born, said, I think I want my grandma name to be Kiki. And that's a good call, good choice. She is Kiki now to King. But of course, with my great wit and constant desire to entertain, I said, well, if you're going to be Kiki, what does that make me? Cuckoo? And my son, Case, said, oh, that's perfect. Kiki and Cuckoo. Yep, you're Cuckoo. And they have propagated that from day one with King. And so now I'm Grandpa Cuckoo. So he looks at me about the second period and said, Cuckoo, next time we come to a game, can we sit back down on the glass? And I said, King, that costs a lot of money. I said, Cuckoo's going to have to go out and make more money before I can do that. So we're walking out after the game. And I don't remember who exactly he was talking to, but I heard him say, Cuckoo told me he's going to get more money and we're going to sit on the glass next game. So the pressure's on, folks. I've got to make more money in 2024 so I can hook my man up in his preferred seats. Now, we did kind of get a little bit of a bonus. The minor league team in the American Hockey League, which is upper shelf. I mean, it's like AAA in baseball. It is the best minor league with teams all over the country. They have a team in Vegas that is the farm team, the number one team below in the organization, the Henderson Silver Knights. And the Henderson Silver Knights are out in the suburbs. The Golden Knights, of course, play right off the Las Vegas Strip in T-Mobile Arena, right in behind New York, New York, and the Park MGM hotels in a great lot with all kinds of a brand new arena, all kinds of excitement surrounding the game, live music. It's just a party atmosphere, as you would expect in Vegas. And they put on an unbelievable production before every game, very Vegas-esque, have a celebrity ring me a rallying horn to start the game. Really kind of a celebration every single game. And it's a happening. But the Silver Knights, the minor league team, the number one affiliate of the Golden Knights, just about 15 miles away, which is very convenient when you're calling players up or rehabbing guys that have been hurt. They were playing on the Saturday before Christmas on the 23rd. They had a home game against San Jose Barracudas. And we had nothing really planned on that Saturday night. My son Case was having to cover the Las Vegas Bowl, which was a thrilling matchup between Northwestern and Utah. When I say thrilling, I'm kind of doing that tongue in cheek. Northwestern, not a great football team, and Utah had been to the Rose Bowl the previous 2 years and had fallen back a little bit this season. So you kind of figured their excitement level to be in the Las Vegas Bowl would not be real intense. So the plan all day was we were just going to pick up some tickets and go to that game, be in Allegiant Stadium, which is the Raiders' brand new stadium, just off the strip. And that was kind of the plan, but we kind of changed gears later in the day when it came up. Somebody mentioned to King we were going to a football game, and he said he wants to go to a hockey game. Well, the Golden Knights weren't playing. They were out of town, but the Silver Knights were. And we looked online real quick, called it audible, decided not to go to the football game, but to go to a hockey game, a minor league game. It was just myself, my son, Clate, because Case was working, along with my daughter-in-law, Tracy, and King. And amazingly, we found their arena's much smaller, but they have very enthusiastic large crowds. It seats around, I would estimate, 6,000. But we were able to buy four tickets, you guessed it, in the first row on the ice for, you know, a decent amount of money, but nothing really debilitating. So King was a little confused by the fact that it wasn't the big arena, but all the format of the game, they are the Silver Knights, not the Golden Knights, but the chant is still "Go Knights, go!" And he got caught up in it pretty quick. At three years old, you don't have a thorough understanding of leagues and structures and things of that nature. It was a hockey game. It was right in front of him. Guys were slamming into the glass. Guys were skating past at blinding speed. He enjoyed it immensely. So was able to hook my guy up just a couple days before Christmas down on the glass. And I'm talking about all this because these are the things that are what should be near and dear to all of us. There is an assault on the American family right now. I know we've got a lot of people with varying kind of political views and ideological ideas. And well, that was an interesting choice of words. Ideological ideas. That's a little redundant. Sorry. Ideological slants, let's say. There's all kinds of different people who listen. And, you know, whatever your politics are, whatever you believe, your worldview, I think at the very basic organic level, love of family is so important, and support of family, and just the commitment and the understanding that things that you do in your life pale in comparison to the accomplishments of your family and what you build. And it is the foundation of American life. And that's why it's under siege for people trying to undermine our way of life. And whether or not you're the most progressive leftist or the most conservative person on the right, I suspect that most people listening to this broadcast can appreciate that there's nothing more important than family. And it's really unconscionable to see what's happening in our country, where people that believe that the family unit is secondary to subservience and complete devotion to a central massive government being the controlling entity is really sad. And they've managed to make a lot of progress through social programs, emphasizing that the birth of children where a father's not present is a money-making opportunity. They've really taken away the role of fathers in this social welfare system. And it's really a sad thing, because you see kids without dads dropping out of high school at a rate of 75%, something alarming like that. You see rampant crime. You see young men gravitating to gangs just for a sense of belonging. If you destroy the family unit, you really to just drive a wedge in really the pillars of society. And it's something that all of us should be appalled. And now they're trying to take it to the next level by teaching your kids things that I know that none of you listening want them to be exposed to, by trying to develop curriculums that emphasize the fact that this country is not the great experiment of democracy and representative republic that it's billed to be. They want to teach your kids that they live in an evil place that has a shameful history and abuses people and belittles people and denies people the basic rights that they deserve, when in fact it's their system that keeps people down, that doesn't allow people to achieve the American dream, that doesn't even give people access to the American dream. And it's it's just generation after generation after generation that continues to support a party that historically has been anti-progression. In the Civil War, the secession of the South was spearheaded by Democrats who were totally intolerant of the idea of getting rid of slavery. And as things developed after the Civil War, the Reconstruction, again, all Democrat lawmakers were vehemently opposed to the 13th and 14th Amendments, which gave freed slave males full rights as American citizens and voters. It took an extraordinary campaign by then President Abraham Lincoln to get through Congress the no-brainer bills of these people now free and declared Americans the opportunity to become full citizens with severe Democrat opposition. As we moved into the new century, in the 20th century, at the turn of the 1900s, the atmosphere was, of course, in the South, total segregation. Integration didn't come to pass until the 1950s and in full scale in the 1960s, with finally passage of civil rights legislation opposed right up to the time it happened by Democrats. This was the mantra. You had a racist president, Woodrow Wilson, in office in the during World War I, who was totally against any rights for any minorities. You had the beginning of Margaret Sanger's policies to try and get into poor neighborhoods, and the beginning of abortion services, again, to control the Black population in this country. These are all the people that are the founding members of the modern day Democrat Party and progressive movement who say they stand for all of the oppressed people in the world and in the country, when in reality, they only use that as a platform to achieve their own goals of power and control. So with all that being said, the family unit, most important thing possible, and building a strong family union undermines what they want to accomplish, where the government is the daddy, where everybody is subservient and needful of government support and government entitlement programs to just squeeze by and dutifully perform your role as a solid citizen of what these elites believe is the better system than you having individual liberties and making your own choices and decisions for you and your family. So building the family unit back is something that all Americans should be embracing, and all Americans realizing that this government is vehemently attacking. And now I mentioned the changes of curriculum. When parents tried to stand up in Virginia and object, the teachers' union wrote a letter to the White House, who moved in onto the Department of Justice. And within just a couple of weeks, they mobilized a lot of forces to start identifying parents who were vehemently opposed to this brainwashing indoctrination curriculum. And they labeled these people, responsible parents worried about their children's education, as domestic terrorists. I mean, how much further can these people go before American people say enough, 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 enough? I know it's a time that everybody is feeling some doom and gloom at everything that's happening. All they tell you is all these terrible things. The climate is being destroyed because we're a capitalist free enterprise, individual liberty society. It's BS. It's not true. Don't buy it. You've got to go and get your shots for 15 different possible problems that you're going to have, despite the fact that after a huge campaign to basically move billions of dollars in, at that time, what was called vaccines, turned out to be totally ineffective and really a complete sham, as they were just gigantic money-making opportunities for pharmaceutical companies who stuff the pockets of politicians and get all kinds of favorable legislation and a golden path to really taking people in the wrong direction and forcing people in a lot of cases to put something in their body that they weren't comfortable with. And there are some startling statistics. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but an awful lot of younger people inexplicably died after receiving these vaccinations back when it was common and being enforced and actually required for a lot of professionals, military folks, first responders, et cetera. They had to take the hospital workers, had to take the vaccinations, even if they weren't comfortable with them. And there's still a lot of uncertainty as to what those roles of introducing this material into the bodies of a lot of people, and with anything in medical circles or in treatment circles, every individual is going to react differently, but there's still an awful lot we don't know. And now they're back trying to push more and more. They don't call them vaccinations anymore, because vaccinations prevent contraction of the disease, of a said disease, and prevent the spread of said diseases. These did not do that. There's an argument that they mitigated somewhat some of the severity of the factors, but that's still not determined either. It may have just been herd immunity or Americans being able to kind of ward off with their own immune systems these run of early COVID viruses. And there's always the threat that there's more. There are illicit labs being discovered, even in this country, where all kinds of insidious diseases are being experimented with and developed. The pharmaceutical company even had their research and development director admit on hidden camera, under being fooled that he was on a date. He said they were tinkering with different strains of virus in an attempt to already have vaccination strategies. It just stinks to high heaven. This came from a lab in Wuhan, China. It is not a natural phenomenon. We live in a scary time where you better enjoy every day that you have, and you better build up your family to be a strong, independent unit. Our individual liberty and the freedoms we're guaranteed in our constitutional republic are the greatest safeguards against the evils we face, and everybody needs to be aware. So let me leave you with a hopeful message, because around the world, there's a lot of places that are starting to recognize that what we've been going through the last, 10 years or so with this world, one world order kind of globalist agenda that has been sweeping the planet and bringing wokeism to many countries, talking about a lot of subjects that really family units don't need to be dealing with, all these gender issues and all these victimization, oppressor versus victim. That's the theme. And that's what they use to divide everybody. There's a oppressor and there's a victim, and there's no gray area. When of course there's gray area in every situation. We've been over that exhaustively here on the show. But let me tell you, there's a trend around the world where countries are saying enough. Citizens are rising up and throwing out these leftist progressives in countries like Hungary and Sweden and Portugal in Europe. And a shining example of it's not too late, we're not in desperate straits in terms of where we're going. It can be fixed. It can be addressed. And what it takes is strong, committed leadership. That's what it takes. In Argentina, a man by the name of Milei, I always pronounce his name wrong, Milei, Javier Milei was a long shot in the presidential election in Argentina against a two-time incumbent and shocked the world and shocked the region by winning the presidency of Argentina. And he ran on a basically, we are going to undo everything these despots have done to ruin our country. We are going to embrace democracy and personal freedom and individual liberty. And this guy has been in office just for a month or so. In his first 18 days, listen what Javier Milei did. Javier Milei, on day one, eliminated 12 of the 21 cabinet posts in the Argentinian government, gave those guys their walking papers, said, we're not filling these jobs. We don't need them. It's government bloat. It is not necessary. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Got rid of 12 of 21 cabinet posts. Within a couple of days, pink slips were issued to 5,000 government workers. The people that he decided that were really not doing anything, were just collecting a check. And he continues to assess every department, every aspect of Argentinian government, and continues to fire government people that are just kind of, you know, rotting the gravy train and not really serving any purpose. So massive reduction of government has happened in Argentina in the first 18 days. That's not all. A lot of businesses, as is the Marxist game plan, had been acquired and seized by government. He says government is not in the business of running business. And he has privatized all of those seized companies and industries and put them back in the private sector. That has already been achieved. He has had sweeping reforms in any number of different things, including presidential directives that this whole obsession with gender studies and people declaring that children have the opportunity and the necessary knowledge at 7, 8, 9 years old to have altering surgery that will haunt them the rest of their lives. You know, if a person that's grown and decides that they want to alter themselves, they're never going to be able to change the one undeniable fact that biologically you are male or female. That's, you know, it's disputed. There's no dispute there. The controversy is, of course, can you declare yourself one gender, or are there there are only two genders? People will argue with you that now there are multiple genders. I think that's nonsense, but that's what they argue. And if you want to be a grown adult and make decisions on your own, you know, I'm certainly not going to tread on your individual liberty to do so. But all of this madness of teaching children that aberrant sexual behavior and gender studies, et cetera, are all just par for the course. That has not been, it will no longer be permitted in Argentina and no longer taught in schools. It's a sweeping reform. He has stepped up, showing true grit, true leadership, and fearlessness to go ahead and get his country back on track with some very astounding initial accomplishments. And keep an eye on, because you won't hear, if you watch conventional news sources, you won't hear anything that Javier Milei has accomplished, because that's the last thing they want you to hear, that it is possible to reverse this trend that we're all suffering from. So my hopeful message coming into 2024, let your voice be heard. If you're frustrated with what your government is doing and with what your educators and people that want to tear this country down by allowing open borders and 8 million people to stream in this country in the last couple of years, It's the largest invasion in the history of the world, and it's not an invasion with guns and ammo yet, although the FBI director, Christopher Wray, has told you to be vigilant because there's a very strong likelihood that there is a terrorist presence now in our country that we've just let walk in. Now, this is coming from the FBI director who's serving in the administration that's allowing it to happen. It's insanity. But the bottom line is, all the things they're doing to try and tear down this country because they can't beat us from the outside, so they're trying to tear us apart from within. Be aware, get your head out of the sand, be vocal, talk to your friends, talk to your family, talk to your neighbors. Let's get a groundswell movement going of American citizens that say what they've said in Argentina and what they've declared in Italy and Portugal and Sweden and Israel and places all around the world. Enough, 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 enough. We want to go back to our founding principles, the vision our founding fathers had of the greatest experiment in humankind history. And that's what it means to be an American. And all of us have a responsibility to step up and be just that. That's my New Year's Day message. Thank you all for tuning in. Happy New Year. I hope 2024 is the most joyous, prosperous, most satisfying year in your lives. Emphasize your family, give your children an extra hug, and be proud to be an American. I'm Kip Kiefer. We'll be back next week on Need to Know.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.